Oh, hey, it's Sam. All of your
Hi, how are you?
Your fans have been asking about you.
Oh, good.
They wanted an update.
Oh, joy.
I'm serious. A lot of your fans have been contacting me.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could, glad you care, and glad I have, well, I guess I didn't know I had fans, but thanks for caring and everything. Are they worried about me? Everything's fine?
No, they just wanted updates on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, everything's good. Thanks for your inquiries, and yeah, hope you are all well, too.
You heard the breaking news, of course, all the deaths. Carrie Fisher died. George Michael.
Yeah.
And I have breaking news on Keith Richards. He's still alive.
Very good. you know why you didn't get me with that? Because I feel like you use that joke after I was up with the death.
No, I used the joke That's earlier. I said that to you
I
via
the
text.
First time you did that, I was like, oh my God, is he dead? But you've done that quite often, so... you didn't give me at all. I knew what you were going to say.
A lot of people are also asking for Bass ponytail updates because Bass said that in the new year he would grow a ponytail for $1,000, which we could raise in literally 30 seconds.
Was that confirmed that he was going to do that?
I bet he won't do it. But I'm just Bass isn't coming on because he said both of his nostrils are completely full. So I told him he should pour Drano down his nostrils.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, that works out.
Do you think that would work?
I think he might die.
Even if he just put a little squirt in each nostril?
If you pour Drano down your nostrils, that's
just a little bit
going to result in anything good. Not going to heal anything.
But he said that before he would do it. But here's what's going to happen. If you donate money to this, you're never going to have to pay it because he's never going to get it to like the 6 to 8 inch mark that I'd want him to get it to. So all you're going to have is Bass with a shitty George Costanza haircut for like a couple months. And he's going to realize how ridiculous it is and he's going to abort mission. So you're never going to have to pay. So I would even be willing to put up the whole $1,000 because I'm pretty sure. And Ryan Ray said he would put up, I think, what did he say? 200. What did you say? $10?
$10.
So we have $210.
I'll put $10.
But then I said we have to do a complete photo shoot, too.
Yeah.
So no updates on the Bass ponytail. I was on Twitter, and Guns N' Roses tweeted out a picture of one of their fans. I think they're somewhere in, like, Brazil or something right now. Somewhere in South America. And, they posted a picture of a girl with a Guns N' Roses tattoo on her back. Like, not the bottom part, the top part of her back. And then right next to it, it looked like Slash autographed it, and she tattooed that also. Do you think that the girl with the Guns N' Roses tattoo, do you think she has sex with the band members? Like, do they have sex with band members who have Guns N' Roses tattoos? So it's either one of two things. It's either they always have sex with the girls with the band name tattoo, or they never do. What do you think it is?
I'd say never.
So do you think that's like left to the roadies? Like the roadies, like, oh, that's like a bullseye.
Yeah. I mean, I never understood getting a band name tattooed on your body. I actually remember in high school, maybe senior years, meeting some girl who had both Korn and Limp Bizkit tattoos on her back. And I don't know how that turned out in her adult years, but
Korn and Limp Bizkit.
It's probably not. That probably, in hindsight, she probably regrets doing that. I hope she covered it up or did something. She had Korn tattooed on her like neck, the back of her neck, and then she had like a Limp Bizkit, like a logo of theirs, like above her butt. So it was not. Even then, I remember we're like, oh my God, this might be regretful, like, in 18 months.
What are the odds that the girl with the Limp Bizkit tattoo at least had sex with a Limp Bizkit roadie?
I'd say next to, I remember meeting her, I'd say next to none.
Oh, she was disgusting?
Well, no, she wasn't, like, you know, prime groupie fodder.
No, but that's what I'm saying, like, maybe one of the roadies.
I don't think she was getting anywhere near backstage.
Because the roadies, will do anything. Like, don't you think it's like halfway through the girl's like, so am I going to get to meet Wes Borland? Yeah, keep going though. That'll happen later.
Yeah, I think they make the assumption that they're getting backstage because they have tattoos. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
But they're such super fans that I think those are the kind of girls that a roadie would take advantage of.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if you're a roadie and you're just, the roadies get the scraps, like the really shit. Like when, remember Wilbur from Charlotte's Web? Like he was a runt and he never got to eat. That's how a roadie is. Like they just get those slobs. And he's like, well, if she has a Limp Bizkit tattoo, I guess I'll do it. Because that means she's dead. Like he's not the guy with the skullet, the mullet with no hair on top, and you know the fanny pack who's tuning Wes Borland's guitar. I don't think he's getting laid that often.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I was just wondering if you thought if that like the tattoo, it's either they always do or they never do.
Well, is it like I think in your head you assume that they're doing it because they want to get closer to the band. I just think that a lot of them are just big fans. They just because if a male does it, you think that they want to have sex with Fred Durst.
I do actually.
Yeah. Okay.
If a guy got a Limp Bizkit tattoo, you don't think if Fred Durst, if he got him on the bus and he said, hey.
I mean, I know some guys who have band tattoos who definitely don't want to do that. I mean, I could tell you firsthand.
Well, not all of them, but I think anyone who would get, in particular, a Limp Bizkit tattoo, you don't think that if Fred was like, hey, man, it'd be really cool if you could do this for me right now. You don't think the guy would do it?
Not everybody. I'm gonna say not everybody, and maybe some of them, but not everybody. I don't think every single person that got a Limp Bizkit tattoo thought that they'd end up in an intimate spread. I don't think everybody thought that.
I think a lot of the guys would, though. Most of the girls would, and I think a lot of the guys would.
I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not going to.
To have a Limp Bizkit tattoo, it's not like you have a Beatles tattoo. I mean, if there's women who have tattoos, they're probably just big fans of the Beatles. It's not like they're like clamoring to have sex with
them. But why is that? Why, if you're a Beatles fan and you have a tattoo, you're just a fan, but if you're a Limp Bizkit fan, you want to end up...
Let's take it to the next level. What if they have an Insane Clown Posse tattoo?
Again, I think you're casting a generalization about fans of certain bands. I mean, what makes the Beatles? I like the Beatles, but I mean, do you think all the Beatles fans are like these highly intelligent,
well-adjusted
people who...
I just feel like the Insane Clown Posse fans, the girls who would get a Shaggy 2 Dope tattoo over her ass, would have no problem having violent J behind
it. I don't know any juggalos, so I'm not sure. But I don't want to generalize and say all Limp Bizkit tattoo recipients did
even if it's a tramp stamp Limp Bizkit, you don't think she wants to say, hey, Fred, check out this tattoo I got? Yeah, where is it?
Like I said, I don't know. I mean, maybe some, but maybe not others. I'm giving you an honest assessment. Not going to say every single woman who got a Limp Bizkit tattoo is trying to get closer to Fred Durst. She could be, maybe a woman is happily married and just loves Limp Bizkit. I don't know.
But you don't think even the married woman would have sex with Fred Durst if he said, yo, let's go back to my bus?
Not necessarily. I know a lot of people who like a lot of shitty bands who take it a little bit too far. I mean, but it doesn't mean that they're trying to have sex with somebody.
You don't think she would do it for the nookie?
Well, you keep saying she, like there's a single like persona for this, and I don't think that's the case.
Well, I even said the guys. I'm pretty sure a guy who has a chocolate starfish tattoo on his ass.
But now look at where you've taken it now.
Whatever. I don't care where it's Limp Bizkit
tattoo on their ass. I mean,
I bet if, and Fred Durst is straight, but I bet if he was interested, if he's like, yo, man, can you just stroke it?
Any man who has a chocolate starfish tattoo on their ass has probably died of shame years ago. So
died of shame. you don't think they've like converted their life into a regular life? They haven't evolved.
I mean, only if they had a tattoo artist who could do a really nice cover up.
Well, like, let's go to the girl who had the corn and Limp Bizkit tattoos. You don't think that if Monkey was like, hey, Fieldy and I want to have a little fun with you backstage, you don't think
I mean, you want me to say yes so you can move move on from this?
No, I'm asking. I'm asking you.
I mean, I've already said no in like 20 different ways.
I'm just saying that someone with a tattoo is probably a bullseye, and then I was wondering if the band would be interested or if they like pawn them off to, hey man,
well, I mean, here's,
got someone for you.
Let me put it on you. So
gotta use your illusion tattoo.
Let me reverse this and pose a question to you. So, if a woman you're not attracted to at all had an Abe Cannon tattoo, would that make her a guaranteed place? Would she have a guaranteed place in your list of groupies, or?
No, but I'd pawn her off to, like, to the King of All Atoms or someone.
Yeah, but how do you know the King of All Atoms would be into her? I mean, you're
not him, but my, not, not him, not him, but I'm
highest quality, but the the second tier will take anything else that's left.
The roadies, what I'm saying.
What if you have a roadie that has a very, I don't know, that's just very, a very discerning eye for people? I don't know.
There's always someone willing.
No matter how you argue it, I'm not going to agree.
Like the dude who ran the prison squad, Terry. I'm sure he'd be down to, that's one of our old listeners. I'm sure he would take someone who wanted that tattoo.
Yeah, okay. I guess so. I guess for him, yeah. Okay.
Sam, you're saying, so you think if there's someone who has a Sam Cannon tattoo, you don't think she'd be interested? She's just a big fan of yours?
I don't care if she is or not. I don't judge people based on
My question is, if they have a tattoo,
psychotic admiration for somebody.
My point is that if they have the tattoo, do you think it's a bullseye? And
I think if you have the tattoo, you're probably a big fan, and then you could make your own assumptions from there. But I don't think that having a tattoo of a band or a person means you're willing to, you know, get intimate with that person. I don't believe that. So that's your answer.
Okay. So, like, if you have a Guns N' Roses tattoo on your boob, and then he's like, Slash, sign my boob over the tattoo, you don't think that girl's interested?
I mean,
like, are you that naive, just not disagreeing with me just to disagree with me?
No, I mean, I don't like making it general.
You don't think some guy who has
maybe some guy, or maybe some woman who has that, but not all of them. I'm just not going down that road.
What are you, like, Morley, what's that guy's name? Morley Safer, or whatever.
Who is Morley Safer?
What's that guy's name? Morley,
I have no idea who that is.
Morley Safer. Wait, hang on.
Morley Safer.
Wait, hang on. Morley something.
No, I'm curious about who this is now.
Morley Safer.
Who is that?
But he's a broadcast journalist.
Morley Safer. Okay, he's dead, actually. I'm looking at that now. He died in 2006.
But, like, that's the kind of answer he would give. I'm just not going down that road.
Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with Morley Safer. Another artist we lost in 2016. But
did he die in 2016?
Yep. May 2016. Why do you know who this guy is? That's interesting.
I think he was on, like, 2020 or something.
He's on 60 Minutes.
Oh, 60. Okay.
For 36 years.
Okay, so there you go.
So the face looks familiar, but I'm not really familiar.
You know him, believe me. What do you think about the Apple, the guys who work at the Apple store, the guys who like that? I love the guys who work there normally.
Yeah.
But do you ever meet the hip ones who think they're like nerds, but they think they have some kind of edge to them?
I don't go to I don't spend a lot of time in the Apple store, but I know they do hire a lot of hipsters. Take those jobs. I know that.
Like a hip nerd where he's wearing like that David Beckham winter hat with like a beard, sloppy ass.
Yeah. Have you had a bad experience at the Apple store?
Yeah, I went there and he was angry. Like the rest of them are very nice. This guy looked like
you should have asked for a manager.
No, I mean, luckily one of the nice guys helped me, but this guy was like, he some lady asked him a question, and she said, how much is that? He goes, $1 million. She said, what?
Really?
He goes, haha, just joking. No.
Well, that's surprising because they're, like, Apple Store employees are known to, like, really cater to the whims of the customer.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say. Like, everyone else there was, like, super. This guy looked like, remember the glowworms?
Yeah.
That's what he looked like because he's wearing the hat with the fat face. But everyone else there, they were super nice. And this guy, I don't know how he, like, he's like a mean nerd or something.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny because they're they were like, Raji, Raji, and they walked up to this Indian guy who was sitting there waiting. Like, there were like 15 people all waiting. You know, I don't know if you've been to the one on downtown, the one on Michigan, but like
the one in Michigan, I've been there, yeah.
They have you like wait there. They're like, oh, we'll come talk to you, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah, they have like benches and you sit there and they have like,
yeah, so there's like 15
genius bars.
There's like 15 people on the bench and there's just one, like an Indian guy who's like, if you typed in like your typical looking, just like an Indian guy that it looks like he was in The Simpsons, like that kind of an Indian guy. Like completely.
Like Apu, you're saying.
Yeah.
Like Apu, okay.
And, he goes, Raji, Raji. And then he went up to the Indian guy. The Indian guy, obviously his name wasn't Raji. And he goes, Raji? And he stood there. He looked at this Indian guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, 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 no. And then he goes, no, 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 look. And then he showed him the spelling of the name to double confirm that he wasn't Raji.
And then the guy's like, no, my name is Bob.
No, no. So then out of nowhere, like almost out of the woodwork, another Indian guy popped out. And he's like, oh, no, no, I'm Raji.
Wow. So racist to the Apple Store.
But isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. Although, let's be honest, that is an innocent mistake, right?
No, I know, but it was just funny because...
It is ridiculous. And I'd personally be insulted. But, I mean, I can understand how that could happen. I mean, if I line up 15 people in front of you, 14 of them are either Caucasian or African-American or Mexican, and one guy is a stereotypical-looking Indian guy, and I said, which one of these 15's name is Raji, and I'll give you $100. He would point to the Indian guy, I'm sure, without fail, 100 out of 100 times.
So then, like 5 minutes later, another Apple guy comes, and he's like, Husfu? Husfu? The guy's
Husfu.
He's like, oh, that's me. The guy's name was Husfu.
Husfu, okay.
But it was just funny because like he just like the other Indian guy who was nowhere to be seen just like popped out of nowhere. Oh, I'm Raji.
Yeah, no, I'm Raji. This is Husfu.
Yeah, oh, I'm Husfu. I thought it was ridiculous. So I was on Michigan, and I was at Michael Jordan's. He has like a steakhouse. I went there for lunch, and when I was walking out, this dude was smiling at me, and it was Kenny Williams, the White Sox general. Well, he used to be the general manager. Now he's like whatever his position is with the White Sox.
Wow.
And he looked super thirsty when he was staring at me. Like the whole, like,
but you don't know Kenny Williams, you're saying, but he just spotted you and he was very impressed.
Like he saw me walking out and he was like, I only noticed him because he was staring at me with a big smile on his face. Like, and like he was about to talk to me. So I see him, and I'm like, oh, what's up, Kenny? And he's like, I like your hat. And I was wearing a White Sox hat. I didn't even realize I was wearing a White Sox hat.
So wait, does he know you? Does he, like, look
at you? No.
Okay, okay.
No, but I was wearing a White Sox hat.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, this is Cubs, you know, downtown is like Cubs territory now.
Right.
So he probably saw that, and he got all excited, thirsty. He was, like, super thirsty to talk to me. And
so what did you guys talk about?
I tried to play it cool because, you know, I had the upper hand in that conversation.
Sure.
Like normally when you meet a celebrity, you're like below them.
Right.
He's the one who was thirsty to talk to me.
Right.
So I tried to play it cool. I'm like, I'm like,
I gotta go. I don't have time.
I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize, which is true. I'm like,
tweet me any question.
That's what John Jones said to us.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, guys, can you tweet? Guys, just tweet me any other questions.
Yeah. Any more questions, guys, just tweet me.
We were doing an interview for Sirius, I think, right?
Right.
And he's like, I got to go, guys. I'm like, and I asked him one more question. He's like, oh, just tweet me if you have any other questions. But yeah, I had the upper hand on Kenny Williams. So I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I was wearing a Sox hat. He's like, oh, yeah. Ha-ha. I'm like, all right. And that was it. Like, I acted like I really didn't care that much.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to make some comments about the team now looking back on it.
You should have gave him some pointers.
And it's funny because...
You should have told him thank you for giving your job to Rick Hahn or stepping down.
Well, it's funny you say that because everyone who I told, I met Kenny Williams, they're all like, Did you tell him to suck your dick? Did you tell him he should quit his job and kill himself? Like, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not thinking of that far, but
it's funny how everyone hates him. Like,
yeah,
like literally everyone. I'm like, oh, I just met Kenny Williams. Oh, did you tell him to go fuck himself?
That's funny.
There's something different, though, about, like, I meet a lot of celebrities at the radio station. But yeah, there's something different about when you actually meet them on the street.
Well, of course.
Like, I met
somebody. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, somebody like, I mean, it's not to insult anybody, like, who works in entertainment like you do, but it's like, you're like, oh, well, this guy, he's a really cool, he's a really down to earth. You really could talk to him, like, yeah, but I said, that's in the environment that you're in.
Yeah.
He's like that. But to the average, you know, Joe Schmo who meets him on the street, like walking down Michigan Avenue, chances are it's not going to be the same kind of interaction or the same response from the celebrity.
Like, you met Paul Stanley, right?
Well, not really.
You were following him, right?
We were in the presence of Paul Stanley in college, me and one of my good friends. We actually were following him while Paul Stanley was berating another fan and telling him that he wasn't Paul Stanley. and we kind of just, like, sat and watched. It was kind of cool because my one friend is a really big Kiss fan.
Yeah, it's the guy who I went to see Kiss with when we were, like, 14. So we're
at school between classes and we're downtown Chicago. And we were like, my friend's like, holy shit, that's Paul Stanley. So,
like, how could you miss Paul? Like, there's no way you could mistake anyone for Paul Stanley. It's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, if you know him, if you know Paul Stanley, you're like, he stands out like, you know, like a, I mean, it's clearly Paul Stanley. He had, like, a super tight, like, shirt on with, like, all the chest hair coming out, tight jeans and cowboy boots.
Yeah, women's cowboy boots.
So my friend's
boots.
Like, let's see what he's doing. Let's follow him. So I was like, all right. So we, like, he was going into Macy's with some, like, dude. So we followed him into Macy's. And
oh, wait, Sam, hold that thought 1 second.
Yeah.
Hey, Bass. Hey, we're doing the podcast right now. Real quick, what's the update on the ponytail? Are you going to do that or not?
I didn't get the money up front.
See, why would we give you, Sam, he wants the money up front. We can't give you the money up front because then you're not going to do it.
No, that's the only way to ensure that I will do it because I don't think you guys are going to give me the money.
We'll sign a contract that says we'll give you the money, or we'll put the money in escrow.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it.
If you want to put money in an escrow over a stupid ponytail, then what are we doing here?
All right. Well, we'll talk
about it. Yeah, that seems like the most ridiculous waste of an escrow account in the history of escrow accounts.
Right,
and what is this account for, sir? Oh, we're actually
it's for a bet for a ponytail.
Yeah.
All right. God. Well, Bass, when you come on the podcast next week, we'll talk about it.
All right. Later.
Boy, Bass sounded really sick, too, didn't he?
Wait a second. Bass was on for 10 seconds for you to ask that question.
He was just calling me right now on my cell phone.
Wait. Bass was calling you on your cell phone.
Bass just called me on my cell phone. I put it on speaker and just talked to him.
Wow. Okay. I thought he was sick.
And that's what I just said. I said, he couldn't come on this week because he was so sick, but he was just calling me right now. But anyways, okay, so you guys saw Paul...
Because he took two of these, then it was better.
Yeah.
so we followed him into Macy's, and, you know, my friend, I mean, you know, he's a big fan, and I don't know if he wanted to approach him or not, but I was like, yeah, you know, we had time, so we go through Macy's, and, like, he's only in there for 2 minutes, so we come out, and we're, like, on the corner, we're actually right near, Water Tower, if you're familiar with Chicago, Water Tower downtown. So Paul Stanley's standing around the corner, so this, like, dipshit and his, like, wife or girlfriend go up to him, and he's like, dude, you're Paul Stanley. And he's like, no, I'm actually not.
No, I'm
not. And it was clearly him.
No.
He's like, no, I really aren't. He's like, I'm really not. He's like, it would really be cool to be him. He's a really great guy. He's like, but I'm definitely not him. And he's like, are you sure about him? He's like, no, he's like, it'd be cool if I was, but I'm really not Paul Stanley. And then he, like, looked at my friend and winked. And this guy was a total idiot because he was like, I don't know, man, you're the fly like him. He's like, yeah, he's like, I get that a lot, but he's like, I'm definitely not Paul Stanley. And we're just, like, cracking up. And
that's awesome. So you guys were in on it with Paul. Like,
We kind of were in on it because he gave my friend the link. I guess he figured. I guess my friend probably looked more intelligent than the other guy, so he probably I can't fool most people. This guy's obviously falling for it. But who says they're not somebody? The other guys are going to be sure you're not him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, right there when you say you're not the person, if you are the person, you're just being a dick. It's like you're confused. Like maybe I am Paul Stanley. It's like he obviously knows who he is.
But wasn't that wink?
The detective said, "Are you sure you're not? I mean, you look a lot like him." He's like, "No, I really am not." He's
but
like,
wasn't
it'd be
the
great
wink
to be Paul Stanley, but I'm not him.
Wasn't the wink that our friend Joe got? Wasn't that worth like the? Wasn't that even better than?
I think
meeting
the wink was actually better than meeting him because it's a cool memory.
Like I would have loved to get that wink. Like I remember when I saw Danzig once and he gave me and our friend Joe, he gave us each fist bumps.
Yeah. I'm actually glad he got the link, and I'm glad my friend didn't approach him because you know how this goes back to the point. Celebrities could be total end.
Yeah, it would have ruined Paul Stanley.
And this guy is a massive Paul Stanley fan. So getting that wink was like the best case scenario because if he would have been that guy to approach him, Paul might have been a dick to him. And that would have ruined Kiss for him. So I'm actually happy that that Paul embarrassed that other guy in front of his girlfriend.
I'm not
and gave
Paul
my friend the wink. Is that my friend to carry on being Kiss fan?
He seems like a great guy, though.
Exactly. He's like, he looks like an awesome guy. He's like, but I'm not him.
Why would he do that?
It'd be really cool to be him, but, you know, I'm just not. And he's like, are you sure, man? He's like, yeah, I wish I was, but no. He's like, I'm definitely not.
And Kiss were in town that weekend.
I love how he sat there and had that conversation with the guy, like, for 2 minutes.
They were just standing on Michigan Avenue?
Yeah, he just took the time to sit there and deny that he wasn't Paul Stanley.
and wasn't it, weren't Kiss in town that day, too, right? Like, the next day they were
playing. They were on tour. I believe we might have been going to the show, actually. Or we were going to the show. But he was there for a show.
But see,
I don't feel like this is my mind playing tricks, but I almost feel like this guy might have had a Kiss shirt on and everything.
The guy did?
Yeah, I have to confirm it with my friend, but well, Paul was having a good time with him, and Paul's friend was just cracking up too.
Oh, he had a guy with him?
Yeah, that's what I said. He was.
Oh, I thought he was with his wife. I thought you said he was with his wife. Oh, okay. Wait, you met John Mellencamp when he was with his wife, right? Picking out jeans.
So I didn't meet him. So this is another odd story. So this was actually during college as well. Paul was actually in Abercrombie & Fitch, this is also the Water Tower building, surprisingly. So I was in Abercrombie & Fitch, so a guy walks in with his wife, and I was like, right away, I'm like, that's John Mellencamp. Like, I know John Mellencamp.
Yeah, that's another guy who you can't really mistake for anyone.
Exactly. He had the big, like, coit. I think was her name, or Lynn or something. So he walks in with his model. And he had the most disgusted look on his face. Because, you know, John Mellencamp, he was always like, you know, Mr. Americana, like, you know, the small town kind of guy. And he just didn't look like he was enjoying being in Abercrombie. So I saw him, like, basically, he was shaking his head. And he went outside of the store and just stood and waited for him. So his wife was just, like, buying up all these different clothes. So one of the workers, like, he saw me, like, looking at him, and he's like, dude, he's like, is that John Mellencamp? And I was like, yep. I said, but I probably wouldn't go bother. He looks pretty pissed off right now. So I just let him be. And I didn't ruin John Mellencamp for me that day.
It's funny because in both situations, like me with Kenny Williams, you played it cool, though. Like, you could have been thirsty, and you would, like, John Mellencamp definitely would have said, get the fuck out of here!
I mean, you know, I think that he would. I think he immediately associated anybody in that Abercrombie as a douchebag. Because he probably thought Abercrombie was all douchebags, and he was probably right for the most part.
Yeah.
So I didn't want him to meet me as a representative of Abercrombie and Fitch.
It's like, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to get the fuck out of my face.
Because I mean, it looked like he was going to like almost smack his wife. So. Because he looked like the real deal. He had, like, a corduroy jacket on and, like, you know, boots. I mean, just like you would imagine him, like, dressing, and he wasn't wearing, like, a white suit with footback over and then.
I think that's the key when you meet. Like, I met I was at Fogo de Chao, the Brazilian steakhouse, and Brian Urlacher was there eating right next to me. And I purposely didn't talk to him because I just feel like if you go up to these people, it's never going to end well.
No. Especially somebody like Brian Urlacher. You know that guy is a massive douche.
Yeah.
You know he's going to be a dick. I mean, there's some people who you don't know how are they going to respond. It wouldn't be disappointing with Brian Urlacher because you know he's a douche. I mean, so...
It can only move up from there, right? Like, it's either you're going to get what you expected or...
Right. Like, if you met, you know, if you saw Paul Stanley, you might think that he'd be a nice guy. And he could, like, ruin that for you by... Treating you like a moron for 2 minutes.
How do you think Paul would react if I was walking around and I just said, "Wave your panties in the air, lick your lips and shake your hair"? Because when he called the show, I did my Paul Stanley imitation. He said how awesome. It's actually, if you go to my SoundCloud page, you could listen to that when I was talking to Paul
Stanley.
But
he was promoting on it.
That's what I'm saying. Like if
he wasn't walking down Michigan Avenue trying to get away from fans.
If I said, "Put your hand in my pocket, grab onto my rocket."
You know, Paul was definitely not his kind of villain. Paul looked very much like a rock star. He looked like the kind of guy that didn't mind being recognized. I mean, some guys, I think, some rock stars are supposed to be still high, and they probably, you know, want to try to keep it private. And
like Ellis Cooper or something with, like, a hat on. And
yeah, I don't put the hat out, but, I mean, like, you know, some people probably don't want to be recognized, but Paul Stanley looked like every bit of Paul Stanley. Like, you know, he looked very different than everybody else on the street that day. So,
like a purple thong.
I mean, I didn't see his undergarments, but, I mean, like I said, he had on a
pink boots.
Paul Stanley-esque outfit on. And the guy he was with certainly looked like his accountant or something, like just like a fat, you know, old guy, like balding.
Like his manager or something, probably.
Yeah, it was definitely not one of his, like, brothers in rock or anything.
You wonder where they were going. Like, were they just eating? Maybe they were eating lunch or something? Did they have a meeting?
I think they were shopping.
I need some new underwear.
They went to Macy's for a moment and came back out.
They got blue thongs here? I need black for the stage and blue for my street clothes. You have extra small men thongs? Big up front, though, but extra small around the part you put by your ass. I remember Bass and I, we were walking downtown, and down the stairs came Scottie Pippen and some white guy. And Bass goes, "You're Scottie Pippen!" That's what Bass does when he sees his life. He does this exact thing that guy did to Paul Stanley. "You're Scottie Pippen!"
How does Scottie react?
He just gave us this, like, half smile. And then
then
he went to, I think we were at the ATM machine, and then we came out, and we ended up right next to him because the red light was... It was, like, uncomfortable. Because we ended up standing next to him because the light was red. And then Bass was, like... Well, both of us were, like, staring at Scottie. So then Scottie looked back and said, "What's up, fellas?" But I think he was, like, he barely gave us a head nod. But then we were kind of stuck next to him at the red light. So he had to acknowledge us at that point.
Right.
Because we were both right there at the red light. Bass screamed out, "You're Scottie Pippen!" So he knew we recognized him, so he was forced to give us a, "What's up, fellas?"
Right.
Who else did I meet on the street? Ludacris. I met him at, I met him at Kenny Williams' bar, or his restaurant.
Wow. All these Kenny Williams connections.
Who else? Jerry Reinsdorf. I saw him.
That shithole, that's probably not open anymore, right? What was it called? Market?
I don't know. It is open, isn't it?
Is it? That place is terrible. I don't know.
Remember Kenny Williams had lobsters from Market in his house, and the homeless guy robbed his house and then cooked the lobsters?
Yeah, that was...
Jerry Reinsdorf, the White Sox owner, I saw him walking on the street. I actually interviewed him for like 3 minutes.
I do remember that. That was funny.
Who else? Remember, were you with us in New York when Bass and I saw Joe Buck?
No, I think I was out in New York with you guys, but I wasn't with you at that time.
Yeah, I think you flew in separate or something. But like Bass and I were out to lunch with Tim Sabian, who ran the Howard Stern channels. And we were literally talking shit about Joe Buck. I think we talked about this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
We were literally talking shit about Joe Buck, how much we hate him. And then across the next table was Joe Buck. I swear to God. He just so happened to be. We were in some random diner in New York. I mean, it wasn't like some known place.
Right.
And then when he walked out, Joe Buck said, "I just love your voice."
That's right. That was all Bass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bass is like, "I'll never talk shit about Kenny Williams, about Joe Buck ever again. You'll never hear me say anything bad about him." But what are the odds that you're talking shit about someone and they're sitting at the table? Right. It'd be like if you were talking shit about Elijah Wood or something, and then, oh, there's Elijah Wood.
Yeah, wow, what is he doing in Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
If you were saying how much you hate Lando Calrissian, and then, what's his name is saying that? What's the guy's
name? Billy D. Williams.
Yeah, Billy D. Williams just so happens to be sitting there. Oh, what's up, fellas? I love your style, Sam.
I'd be like, why do you know my name?
Hey, boy, I like your style.
Hey, boy.
When's the last time you drove through Indiana?
Ah, gosh. I always try to go to Indiana. I'm in the Midwest. I always try to go around Indiana entirely, even if it takes me an extra 10 hours.
It is a shit.
I'll go around the northern border just to not step foot in Indiana.
If the United States had an enema, you would stick the hose right in Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana really is about as bad as it gets.
Especially, of all places, Gary, Indiana. The hose would be snug, deep in all that shit in Gary, Indiana. But
yeah, Gary lives in.
As you know, I like to play poker. So I find myself in this shithole Indiana because there's no casinos.
Yeah, but you're really not really. I mean, you're kind of like on the tip of Indiana, right? I mean, you're not really.
I don't mind going to the horseshoe. The horseshoe is fine because that's right on the tip of Chicago. But I have to go. Sometimes I have to go to like the other casinos that are actually in Gary. So I don't like.
You know, vendors where you'll play for like 3 days straight. You just go from casino to casino.
What's that?
You ever go on like a casino bender where you play? You just go like around all the casinos for like 3 or 4 days without sleep.
No, I haven't done that. I should though. That's when it's time for me. See, the problem
I didn't know you were going into like. Deep Indiana to find like
it's not, no. It's like 10 minutes past, but you're in. It's all expressway driving anyway. But you're right, you know, right in the shit. I mean, it doesn't take long to get into the shit. It doesn't take long to. I mean, Sam, you could drive 5 minutes from anywhere in Chicago, and you're in a bunch of shit. So
yeah, so I don't live in those city neighborhoods in Indiana.
But Indiana, they have all these, like, closed road signs. Don't you think in Indiana they should have open road signs?
Well, I don't think they have any resources to repair the roads.
No, my point is that I just assume that all the roads are closed. So when one's actually open, they should have a sign, and not when they're closed.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a joke.
Oh, okay.
I was making a joke. I said they shouldn't have road closed signs. They should have road open signs because I just assume they're all closed.
Oh, yes. That is.
So, you like that one?
That's an excellent joke.
But you really like that one, huh?
That's the one of your better jokes.
That's a funny joke. And you gave the worst reaction ever.
It's a fantastic joke.
Let me reset it up. So, Sam, you know, I'm in Indiana all the time. And when I was trying to leave one of the casinos, it said road closed, so I couldn't leave, right?
Right.
I think in Indiana, they should actually have road open signs because... Because I just assume all the roads
are
closed.
That's great. I love that. I love that joke. That was clearly a joke. A good one.
You know what's the best too? When you, I know you don't go to casinos that much, but when you see the guy,
I don't go at all. I just
yeah,
just put a period on it. I don't go to casinos at all.
I don't go at all.
Well, I don't want to be like that. Like,
at all.
I don't go to casinos. I just don't like them.
Yeah.
If you go, that's fine. I want to go every day. I'm not trying to offend you. They're doing fine without me.
Do you ever see these guys, though, who act like, and you don't go to casinos that much, so I guess you don't, but there's these guys who act like they run the casino, Yeah. Hey, let me. You need a buffet. Let me take care of it for you. Oh, let me. And they always have to talk about. Let me talk to my host. I know you know guys like that, Sam. Because we know people who act like they're like in the casino. Like, oh yeah, yeah.
There's people like that in everything. Like, whatever industry they think they're like. They're in deep, and they're really not.
Yeah, like, no one, like, same with the club. Like, if you're some guy who goes to whatever club, and you're like,
right.
Oh, yeah, I run shit here, and,
I'm only here at the club when Billy Deck is here, so I can sit with him in his suite.
Oh, I sit at Billy's suite. I sit at Billy's table.
Yeah, Billy's suite, yeah. Billy, who? Billy Deck. Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I'm at Rocket, I get to sit at Billy's table. Yeah.
I only go to Rocket when Billy's Billy comps me, and I sit with him, and we talk for a few hours.
Yeah, I get comped. Life. I get comped. Yeah, they take care of me.
Yeah, Billy takes care of me directly. Yeah, he pays out of pocket. He doesn't even comp me. He just pays for me.
When I get there, I text Billy Deck directly.
Yeah, Billy called me and asked me to come to Rocket tonight.
Yeah, he invited me out. He invited me out.
Yeah, he wanted me to come out and
tell
talk.
Me bring
he, wanted
up,
to, he wanted to talk about something.
Tell me to bring all my friends so they could pay full price for drinks, but... Billy,
yeah.
Billy and I.
I told him I would try to get the.
But I don't have to wait at the door. I get right in.
Yeah, I get off at Walmart at 10, so I'm gonna go right after that.
I have to show the door guy my text conversation with Billy Deck, and then they let me in. I'm the only one who he does that with.
Yeah.
Then you cut to everyone in line showing the bouncer their texts.
Right.
Billy Deck's right in. Yeah, that's a good tip, Sam. You just brought up. If you think you're hooked up at a club, you're really not.
Yeah. If you think you're friends with Billy Deck, you're really not.
You know who's hooked up at a club? Dwayne Wade. He walks in, he gets everything. That's called hooked up at a club. You getting free admission isn't hooked up at the club. Exactly. No, but he makes sure I get a booth and everything.
Because you got a spam email from an email account that says BillyDeck.com.
Yeah, Billy makes sure I get a booth and he gets me free admission.
Yeah, man, me and Billy are tight.
The only rule is I can only bring girls. But that's cool, man, because I like partying with girls anyway. That's the only rule he has for me. Just, you can only bring women. But that's pretty much every bar anyway. If you bring women, you'll get in for free anyway.
I'm Billy Deck.
Yeah, I'm hooked up everywhere, man. Yeah, we get one free round. Cool, man. It's awesome. How much did you spend? Oh, $900. But Billy said I had to get a bottle if I want to sit at the booth. If I want a table, I had to buy a $900 bottle of liquor. Oh, man, you got the hookup. Yeah, so anyone who thinks they're hooked up anywhere, you're not. Unless you're like Dwayne Wade, and you literally get hooked up everywhere. You just walk in. If Mike Ditka walks in somewhere, he's hooked up. You're not.
Why is something ridiculous? Listen to this, Billy Deck bet. In May 2014... President Obama appointed Deck to serve as the White House...
The Pacific Rim job, right?
...on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, where he also serves on the White House Bullying Prevention Task Force. What the fuck?
Yeah, he has some kind of fake job with the White House.
Wait, this makes me, like, question all politicians, because we're giving Trump shit about his appointments, and they are awful, but, I mean, Obama's appointing Billy Deck. I mean... We don't have much room to talk trash about the other side. When Obama is appointing Billy Deck to high level cabinet position. Well, it's not a cabinet position, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah,
Deck went to Harvard Business School. Wow. He's actually
I think there's like some like Harvard Business School isn't Harvard.
I didn't even know Billy Deck was Asian. I had no idea.
Billy Deck, if you're not listening in Chicago, he's like a guy who owns restaurants.
Yeah, oh, sorry. I thought everybody knew him because you talk about him so much.
I never talk about Billy Deck.
Not in a video, but you rip on Billy Deck a lot.
What's that?
No, I said you rip on him a lot.
Oh, not on here, I don't. I think that might be in private life.
Okay. I didn't know he was Filipino. I always thought he was just like some, like, I don't know, just like a white guy.
No,
he's a douche.
I had a couple other things when I was playing this poker tournament at the casino. The girl who worked back there, do you ever see those white women who sound black? Like she keeps yelling, I'm grown.
Well, I don't know.
You never seen that before?
I mean,
like, she kept yelling out.
What you just did, what you said, those white women that sound black, then you use, like, the most.
That's what she kept. That's what black she kept. Boy. That's what she. That's how she sounded. That's how, I swear
to you. I know. I just.
So she was, hang on, she was working the tournament, and there were a lot of people. She kept saying, I'm grown. Uh-uh. I'm grown.
Yeah, no.
You never seen that before?
No.
She kept saying, not today. Not today.
No, that's, yeah.
So she was working there, and then, and she's screaming, like, the whole time. She's screaming shit. Like, she said, I'm grown at least 20 times. Because when someone would say, because people were complaining to her, she would always kick it off by saying, I'm grown.
I'm grown.
And then there were these two guys at my table who, they knew each other. So he said something about, how's your youngest son? And he goes, oh, he's committing suicide. It's like, what do you mean? Oh, he's getting married. He's like, I do is the longest sentence in the English language. And then the other guy goes, oh, yeah, marriage is the only place where... marriage is the only funeral where you could smell your own flowers.
Wow.
Because you're married. Does every married guy have a line like that? That they go, like, their go-to line?
I've never used one of those corny marriage lines. No, I don't think... I could say not every guy does, but I don't have one, so.
You've never, no married guys come up to you and had a line like that ready to go and then wait?
Oh, yeah, right? No, I've definitely heard that, but I mean, I've never been that person. No, I don't.
Because, like, the way they said it, it was like,
that kind of cheese.
That was, like, their particular line. Each one of them had their own line.
Yeah.
I do's the longest word in the English language, longest sentence in English language.
Yeah. You know the why.
Yeah, marriage is the only funeral you can smell your own flowers. You know?
I don't know. You were surprised.
I thought people get
married. I would have one of those lines.
I thought that it seems like they all have one.
Well, I'm not part of they. I mean, it's not like there's like a subgroup of like a small niche group of married guys. I mean, that's a pretty wide spectrum of married guys. I mean, there's guys who are married across all ages. I don't know, personalities, economic status. I mean, not all married guys act the same because most adult males are probably married guys, right? We don't all just have a line. I have to have a line. Shitty line.
Marriage is the only funeral you can just call your own flowers. Which ones have you heard? So people come to you and they say,
"Yeah, I don't listen to anybody." So I couldn't tell you. I've heard a bunch of those shitty lines, but I immediately like I have this thing where I could block out everything that's said. And that's so. Most things that are said, I don't listen to in life. I honestly don't listen 5% of the time. I'll listen to you, but I mean, in life in general, I usually do not listen to what everybody. But what most people are saying to me, I usually avoid all of it. I'm usually thinking about something else, and I'm acting. I do a good job of acting like I'm interested, but I'm not at all.
I do is the longest sentence in the English language.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So when someone says
that, I would probably say, oh, cool. That's what I always say. I feel like I say, oh, cool, like 50 times a day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. If you listen to this and I say, oh, cool, I'm probably not listening to a word you're saying. If you know me and I say, oh, cool, I'm probably being a dick. Sorry about that.
They're probably trying to connect with you in some way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being a dick. I can't help it sometimes. I don't want to be this way. You make me this way.
You notice everyone is posting "May the Force be with you" on social media. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think people are sad about Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher.
But I mean, everyone's putting the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of people have a lot of attachment to that movie, to those Star Wars movies. You know, sad to see her go. I was more upset with Michael, but I mean, I'm still upset about. I'm upset when anybody dies who was part of something I enjoyed. I mean, I'm sad to see her go.
And the other tweet everyone puts out is "fuck 2016." They all say that.
Yeah, I mean, we did lose a lot of iconic figures, right?
Yeah, I'm sure in January. I'm sure someone's going to die in January too, though.
What's that?
I'm sure January is not. It's like it's going to end in January. Four more days for the celebrities.
It's like there's been more deaths than we typically have for iconic characters or artists than you've seen in the past.
Do you think it has anything to do with Trump becoming president? You think they're connected?
Do I think Trump becoming president is what killed Princess Leia? No, I don't.
You don't think like just like a lot of them? Could you imagine that?
I think Trump may turn into Emperor Palpatine in the end, but I don't think that he killed Princess Leia. He's not even president, but he's president.
That is the one benefit, Prince and David Bowie. They had no, like, they just assumed that Trump was going to lose. They got to die thinking, like...
Yeah, well, and Bowie wasn't an American either, so he has less skin in the game than Prince.
You don't think Bowie cared?
I really don't think Prince gave
Bowie lived in New York.
He did, but he wasn't an American.
I'm sure he cared, though.
Yeah, probably, I bet he cared more than Prince, but I don't think that Trump becoming president affects a 69-year-old David Bowie. Living there, healthy or not.
But isn't it interesting that like David Bowie never knew that Trump was going to become the president?
So what you're saying is it's almost like a bonus to die before Trump is president. Is like, that kind of what you're getting at?
He had no idea how shitty Fuller House season 2 was going to be.
Yeah, but don't forget David Bowie lived through a Obama administration where Billy Deck was on the fucking council or something. So now that I know that.
Sam, if you're reading that off of Billy Deck's website, all the stuff he puts on there is like lies.
No, I'm not going to go to Billy Deck. That was on Wikipedia.
No, I know Wikipedia. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to go to Billy Deck's website.
That information
is actually more accurate than most news sites you're going to read.
But I think like the thing about Harvard Business School, I heard he didn't even graduate and all. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's inaccurate.
All I know is I'm just saying, Obama talked to Billy Deck, and that sucked. So, I'm trying to be fair here. I talk a lot of trash about Trump, but if Obama
talked to Billy Deck
to any kind of vote, that's fucked up. Yeah. I'm sure there were better candidates than Billy Deck for whatever job he gave to him. I'm certain there were better candidates than Billy Deck. Okay, I'm 100% certain.
But
Billy Deck was not the most qualified person for the role.
So, like, Morton Downey Jr. died and had no idea Billy Deck was going to be in charge of the whatever. Isn't it interesting that when people die...
Maybe that's why Scalia died. He found out Billy Deck got an appointment from Obama.
That's why who died?
Scalia? Yeah, Scalia. Antonin Scalia. It's Antonin, right?
Like Antonio Scalia or something?
Yeah. So, you're saying that it hurt Bowie so much that Trump would have been elected, but maybe it hurt Scalia that Billy Deck got an appointment.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird when people die, they don't... like I said, Carrie Fisher, well, she got to see it, but David Bowie had no idea that Fuller House...
Doesn't that show that, you know, obviously we're like very progressive, you know, liberal kind of people, but doesn't that show you that maybe there is some kind of bias? Because can you imagine if Trump appointed Billy Deck, the outrage there would be for anything? Be all over everything. Obama appoints him on the sly, and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, so pretty much...
I mean, let's just be perfectly honest about it. I mean, if Trump appointed Billy Deck to anything tomorrow, it would be a fucking national joke. But Obama appoints him, and nobody says a word.
So all I have to do to get you to think about the other side is to bring up the side that you're on, so then you'll take a look at the other side.
Well, you didn't get me to bring it up. I brought it up myself.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but in order for you to start looking at the other side of things, all I have to do is bring up the side that you're already on, then you'll start thinking about taking a look at the other side. Because that's how you look at issues.
But this is another moment where I'm like, wow, that is, I mean, I call him like I see him. I mean, that's fucked up.
I know.
Billy Deck should not have gotten that appointment.
I love David Bowie's music.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay. I thought that you were going to take the other side of the issue.
Oh, I see. You're insulting me. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
I said all I had to do was say something bad about Trump to get you to look at the other side and not attack Trump.
That's not true. No, it wasn't about Trump. I saw when I was looking, you brought up that douchebag Billy Deck. I was looking up.
You brought him up, actually.
I have the computer. I brought him up. I don't know why I did. I looked him up, as I did, just to, like, I don't know, I do that a lot. And I saw that he had an appointment from Obama, and that pissed me off.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It wasn't about Trump at all. In fact, I'm actually throwing Trump a bone because I realized that he's not the first president to appoint a complete dude to some kind of appointment.
Well, they all do.
I mean, Billy Deck, my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it makes Sylvester Stallone, the appointment he was offered, it makes
right, I was just talking trash about that for 2 weeks, that he was considering Sylvester Stallone. I mean, I don't know how that's any worse than Billy Deck.
But isn't it, it's different a little bit if you're not in the cabinet, right?
Yeah, well, of course, but I mean, I don't think Stallone was going to be like the, I don't think Stallone was going to be Secretary of State. Yeah, I think Stallone was probably something similar to what Billy Deck got. Probably a ceremonial position, but why does he deserve it?
Yeah.
Why did Billy Deck deserve that shit? You know, I would have Stallone in my cabinet with Billy Deck if it was up to me. If I was
easily. I'd easily have Stallone. You know, I'd have Scott Baio. I'd rather have Scott Baio.
I probably would. I probably would. I'm with you on that. But I'd easily take Rocky over the owner of, you know, a bunch of shitty overs.
Let's wrap it up on this because we're talking about jobs. I was watching Daniel Tiger. Have you seen Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood yet?
Daniel Tiger, was he the Tiger from Mr. Rogers?
He was. Daniel Striped Tiger was from Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
But now they have a spinoff called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is basically like Mr. Rogers, but it's a cartoon.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, my God. Is this on Channel 11?
It is.
Wow. And I gotta watch this.
For instance, there's Prince Wednesday now.
Are you joking or is this serious? I can't tell.
Why don't you go to the same page you looked up the Billy Deck
info? I will. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm sorry for telling you, but I mean you do like make up a lot of stuff. So
Prince King Friday now. Prince Tuesday is like an older kid now. He's probably like 10 or 11.
There it is.
And Prince Wednesday is the little kid. And then who else?
but they changed Daniel Tiger. This actually debuted 4 years ago.
No, but it's still on now. It's like a popular show.
I had no idea.
But anyways, I was watching Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And Daniel was...
I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but I'm looking at stuff. So he's basically the new Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Because he wears the sweater and he talks to the...
The shoes. He rides a trolley to school.
Huh.
But his friends are Miss Elena, who's like Lady Elaine Fairchild, but she's a little black girl. So I don't know if she's like... I haven't seen Lady Elaine, so Miss Elena lives in Lady Elaine's boomerang house or whatever. In that merry-go-round, remember? That Lady Elaine Fairchild lived in? So there's Miss Elena.
Yeah, Miss Elena, daughter of Lady Elaine Fairchild and Music Man Sam.
Oh, so Music Man Sam's black. So Music Man Sam was hitting that then.
Yeah. So and Daniel Tiger is actually Daniel Stripe Tiger's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so anyways, I was watching, and Daniel Tiger wanted the job of line leader. Like, they each got a job, and they were singing the song, "Everyone's job is important, we all help in different ways." And then she gave him she gave that job to Miss Elena, and Miss Elena was, like, rubbing it in. She's like, "All right, everyone line up behind me, the line leader." And Daniel Tiger was all upset. And then Miss Elena's like, "Everyone's job is important. We all help in different ways." And Daniel Tiger was all pissed off. And then the teacher was like, "Well, you're the lunch. You have to hand out the lunches. That's important too." And then Daniel's like, "But I want to be the line leader." And then like 2 minutes later, they're sitting at a table, and they were all like, "Where's our lunches?" And then they were like, "I'm starving. Where's the lunch?" And then Daniel Tiger's like, "Wait a minute, my job's important too." And then he's like, "Everyone's job is important. We all help in different ways." And he handed out the lunches, and they all loved him. And then they all together sang that song.
You know what sucks about this show? This is animated. This isn't puppet.
Yeah, it's an animated show.
Oh, well.
Believe me, you'll like it. If you start watching it, you'll like it.
I mean, if you're going to animate it, why not just have Mr. Rogers as the main character?
I think it's better to have a little tiger because little kids can relate to that more than some old looking weirdo.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Some weird old guy. Hi, children. Like, why would you have him animated? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but so here's my question: Could you imagine if we went, like, if we were at Walmart and then we asked a question and then we started singing that song to employees? Everyone's job is important. Yeah. We all help in different ways. Would that make people happy, or would you just get punched in the face?
I think you'd get punched in the face, or you would get publicly humiliated.
Sam, let's end this podcast like an episode of Daniel Tiger. So we would end that's the message. Is that because like they were showing police officers, they were showing crossing guards, they were showing lunch ladies. Like they wanted all the kids to know that everyone's job is equally important.
And it is. Everyone's job is equally important.
So that's how we would end it then. Like so we would sing that song then. See, Sam, your job is just as important as mine on the podcast.
Because everyone's job is important.
We all help.
We all help.
In different ways. Wait. So what is it, Sam? Everyone's what?
Everyone's job is important.
We all help.
All help in different ways. You're like layering the lyrics now?
No, Bass's job is important. Mine is, Ryan's, yours, the listeners.
But everybody's job is equally important. From President Obama to Billy Beck.
Yep. But all right, well, we'll holler next week. Oh, this is the last podcast of the year.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, don't go to one of Billy Beck's clubs for an overpriced party. It's going to be shit.
Don't go to one of his New Year's parties. Fuck it.
All right.
Later. Peace.
Thank you, Abe, for all the laughter.
David Blaine, your magic is real, and I believe in you.